Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. We are so grateful today to have the Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear with us. Hi, Pastor Lear.
Well, I will have no other king but King Jesus, and I probably ought to say it differently and say we will have no other king but King Jesus.
Oh, indeed. I agree with you.
Yes. And I want to remind our listeners of... Yes, I want to remind our listeners of a passage of Scripture that we need to think about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it also reminds us of that great patriot, Samuel Adams, one of the signers of the Declaration, one of the great leaders at that time. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude, then the animated contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. That's a challenge for us today, isn't it, Miss Diana?
Oh, Pastor Lear, it sure is. And I apologize if I sound choppy, Pastor Lear. I may be having a little bit of difficulty. Can you... hear me pretty well?
I can hear you very well.
Okay, then maybe it's just my myself. But I'm so glad you're on, and as always, Pastor Lear, we'd like to start this off in prayer. So I'm going to go ahead and start us off in prayer, sir, if you don't mind.
Good.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, thank you that your ways are higher than our ways. The Lord, we pray that you open the eyes, Lord, of the people of this nation, Lord. We are like lost sheep, Lord. Heavenly Father, we have lost the way. And, Lord, I just pray you'll help us to find our way back to you, Lord. Remove the blinders, Lord, that are hardening men's hearts, Lord, that they cannot see the way before them. And we pray for the leaders, Lord. And, Lord, in this conversation today, I just pray that you would give us, Lord, the right words to say. And, Lord, let the Holy Spirit speak through Pastor Lear and me, Lord. And, Lord, may people share it with everyone, Lord, and be bold for you. We thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen and amen. I'm glad to say amen to that.
Well, Pastor Lear, I just had gotten through reading a little bit about what's going on in New Hampshire, and really, you know, I had written myself a little note to ask Pastor Lear to give a message for New Hampshire and the rest of America as what
sure.
will save future generations. But I was just reading the issue of New Hampshire versus the Obama administration because of their protection for Planned Parenthood. And
right.
I, you know, that is just so upsetting when you hear that this administration is protecting a means that kills the unborn babies by the millions.
Well, that's true. And not only is it very despicable that they're doing that, but they're also imposing from the central government upon our state. We have most soundly defeated Planned Parenthood's funding. In fact, I have been part of this for the last 15 years, and let's call it that I prophesied that 15 years ago when I was on the governor's abstinence task force, and we had a group of people from Planned Parenthood showed up at one of our public meetings, and they weren't allowed to speak, but they were allowed to be there. So I thought, well, what a great opportunity. The news media is here. So I stood up and I said, how wonderful it is that Planned Parenthood has joined us today and that they're now looking at abstinence education as the answer to certain problems. And I said, by the way, to you in Planned Parenthood, we are going to defund you. We are going to take away your funding someday. I don't know when it's going to be. It's not today. We don't have the votes yet, but I held up my fingers in the symbol of zero. You are going to get zero funding in this state. And now here, 15 years later, our executive council and legislature voted to defund Planned Parenthood. We were successful in doing that. And then immediately
wow.
the Obama administration turns right around and says, oh, well, we'll give you the money. If the state won't give you the money, we'll give you the money. And, of course, it's an egregious violation of the enumerated powers of the 10th Amendment that the federal government or the central government, I really don't like to even use the word federal anymore because it's so misunderstood from our founding what federal meant then and what federal means now, but let's call it our central government in Washington, and that this president would make an end run around our own state government. I mean, that's an egregious violation of our Constitution, our national Constitution. So we're certainly fighting that, and also the issue of Obamacare. And I was at the state capitol on Tuesday. Not only was I there to appear in different hearings, but I also was there with a group of people. The last 4 years, we organized, and it was kind of something that came out of what I've done for years, going to the state capitol and standing there and actually reading the Word of God right in front of the Capitol building. Well, 4 years ago, as being on the board of the National Day of Prayer, we decided to do what's called a Bible reading marathon. So for basically a week, we organized to read the entire Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, read the entire Bible, and we did that. And so I was up there to do my part in reading, and we had a great turnout over the period of time of people coming to read Scripture. And then I went from there to a hearing, and the hearing was concerning the Attorney General of New Hampshire, that the legislature has instructed him because they voted and made a law that we would not accept Obamacare, that in New Hampshire there would be no Obamacare. Well, the Attorney General refused to join the lawsuit of many other states. For example, like Florida is one of the states that's got a lawsuit against Obamacare. And our Attorney General refused to do what the legislature had voted into law. And, of course, the governor should obey the law that is made. I mean, the governor can't make law. The judiciary can't make law. Well, both the governor instructed the Attorney General, no, you don't have to obey that. The courts told the Attorney General, no, you don't have to obey that. You can, you don't have to enter into this lawsuit just because the general court, that's what we call our legislature here in New Hampshire, has made a law saying that they will not accept Obamacare. So we have many battles that we're fighting, and it was interesting on this past Sunday afternoon, as I have done for the last 15 years, in celebration of the ratification or the signing of our declaration, the main body of it, September 17, 1787, I taught a class for the National Heritage Center for Constitutional Studies. And, of course, one of the things that we were discussing is all of these egregious violations of not only our national constitution, but our state constitution that are happening, and the battles that we're fighting. But we are winning some of these battles simply because we're standing up and we're doing what we need to do. And I hope and pray that that's going to be, I mean, we're just a small state here. We have a population of a little over a million. We're the least of the brethren, so to speak, but we're, I believe, challenging the rest of America to say, stand up for what is right. Especially we're challenging those people who say they're constitutionalists. Well, will you stand up and stand by the Constitution? So we've got our work cut out for us, but we're succeeding in ways that I think have shown a couple of things, and one in particular. For years, I've heard Christians all across the country say that politics is a nasty business, so mm-hmm. we shouldn't get involved. I've also heard Christians across the country say, well, the Lord's coming soon, so we won't have to worry about it. We'll be taken out of here soon enough, and, you know, it'll all be left behind, so why bother with anything? I am very grieved whenever I hear any Christian say any of those things, because, first of all, politics often is a dirty business, but my way of looking at things is if you find something that's dirty, instead of avoiding it, why not clean it up? And so the way of cleaning politics up is for righteous people in the Lord to get involved. And I believe that our founding fathers expected that. In fact, I quoted Samuel Adams at the beginning of the broadcast. Samuel Adams said, you cannot be too careful about who you elect to office. You need to know their character. And one of our first Supreme Court justices, John Jay, said that you need to elect for your rulers, in other words, he was talking about as the people in government, Christians. So we need to put Christians in. And here in New Hampshire, over the last election cycle, we had a whole new group of very very good Christians getting in there, and people that came out of the Tea Party, or I should say the different Tea Parties throughout the state, and they're very motivated. They know why they're there, but it's hard work. I mean, a couple of weeks ago I ran a prayer meeting where many of them came, and many of them said to me that they were thinking about quitting because it was so hard, you know, and there was so much backstabbing and so much lying and cheating and so forth going on, even amongst friends. I kind of laughed and said, well, first of all, I'm going to tell you this. You can't quit. I won't let you quit. And the Lord doesn't want you to quit. I mean, we know in Galatians chapter 6, if we weary not in well-doing, in due time we shall reap if we faint not. So I said, I understand what you're dealing with. You need to go get a good night's sleep, get a little bit of rest, and come back tomorrow because we're winning. And this is not the time to quit. In fact, there's really no time ever to quit. We have to stand our guard because some people don't see how important the government really is. If we read Romans 13, it tells us that God has given us government for a purpose. And if we do not stand by what God has given for us to be doing in government, then in many respects we're standing against the Lord. And I don't think there are a lot of Christians that sometimes think about it that way, or they say, well, I don't want to be bothered, I've got other things to do in my life. Well, what are we facing in America today? We're facing a government that is intruding on our freedoms and our liberties in every manner of things. In fact, when I taught on Sunday afternoon, I sort of amplified how this program begins with David Barton. David says there are 27 indictments against the British king. I beg to differ with him. I believe there's 28, and he and I have discussed that before, and I've shown him what I believe makes the 28th. But one thing is for sure, that this overactive judiciary that we're facing, where the judiciary is trying to make laws, they're not supposed to do that. And, of course, the issue that you read through those 28 indictments and see how many of them are happening to us today. I mean, in the common vernacular, we say, well, it's deja vu all over again. Looks like we fought that battle back in from 1775 to 1783, and we're still fighting it. And it reminds me, Miss Diana, of Benjamin Franklin when he came out from the Constitutional Convention, and he was asked by a woman named Mrs. Powell, "Dr. Franklin, what have you given us?" He said, "A constitutional republic, if you can keep it." And so that was a prophetic statement by Benjamin Franklin, but let's think about that. I hope our listeners will think about that. Why did he say that? Because to have a constitutional republic built and founded on Christ and the Bible is probably one of the best forms. It is the best form of government on earth, but it's also going to be challenged by the enemy to destroy it, because the enemy wants us to go back into bondage, and there are many people out there that, left to themselves, they'll be glad to tyrannize us, they'll be glad to control us. You know, as I've told people, the issue of about guns, gun laws, is not about guns, it's about control. It's, Obamacare is not about health care, it's about control. Or even how the FDA and the Department of Agriculture have joined up, and they've sent SWAT teams to Amish people's farms for selling raw milk or selling raw cheese. So that's not about health hazards. It's about controlling what we eat, where we're going to eat, how we're going to produce things, and so forth. It's about controlling people. And I know that's not the Lord's will, and I certainly know that that's not the will of our founding fathers. They didn't want people to be controlled like that. And incidentally, for a lot of people who haven't studied it, if you look at the Declaration of American Independence, it says that government is founded basically on this principle of the consent of the governed. Well, I can tell you one thing. We're getting governance today I haven't consented to, and I'm sure many of our listeners could say the same thing. I haven't consented to it. And in 1636 in the Plymouth Colony, as we're getting onto that season towards Thanksgiving, when people will be thinking about it, I hope people will read the Plymouth Constitution of 1636, because it said all forms, all Republican forms of government. And remember, they weren't talking about a political party called the Republicans or any of that. They're talking about a republic. All republics are predicated on the consent of the governed, and that the governed. Those that consent to be governed have to be self-governed, and self-government really is a phrase that describes you've got the Lord in your heart and you're being governed by the Lord and His will. Not the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Suggestions is the way some people look at it. But it's the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. As some people would say, well, those were just suggestions. No, they weren't suggestions. So we're enjoying it. I can tell you what fun we were having. I got out of that hearing on Tuesday, and I talked to some of the legislators and said, we're reading the Bible in front of the Capitol building. Come on down and join us. And we had a half a dozen representatives that were doing that. And incidentally, on that Sunday afternoon when I was teaching the class in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, I had 12 legislators sitting in my class. I had a half a dozen pastors and leaders of a variety of different ministries and so forth. What a wonderful opportunity. And incidentally, for our listeners, if anybody's interested, we will very soon have it posted on the patriotpastor.org website, and you can hear and see what I said in that class.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I always love that, Pastor Lear.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor Lear, I did not do an introduction of you. I'm hoping people have been listening to us quite a bit and know who you are, but let me go ahead and say a little bit about you, which is that You know, you can trace your lineage all the way to the Mayflower, and you know history like the back of your hand. You know about original intent of this Constitution, and you've been proclaiming that for how many years now, Pastor Lear? Over 20 or 30 years?
Oh, easily, I'm sure. I mean, in one form or another, to one level or another, but let's just say that probably over the last 20 years in particular, as the need has arisen to really push the envelope, so to speak.
And you have persevered, and it's not been easy for you. You've been vilified and everything else, but God needed you to do this for such a time as this, because now, you know, I remember walking into quite a few places, and for some reason, you know, here they are, and I was telling them about you, and I was talking about New Hampshire, and they had all sorts of good things about New Hampshire. Oh, New Hampshire is leading this, New Hampshire is leading that, and it has borne fruit, and it's really encouraging, and that's why people cannot give up, because really, for one, this is all about not just us living here today, but also future generations, that we're trying to do what we can. And I know that's why you're doing what you're doing. It's also because of that posterity that the founding fathers, you know, they kept that in mind whenever they did something, it seemed like.
Well, that's very true. And I can tell you that even the Mayflower, you know, two of my ancestors on the Mayflower died in their beds, froze to death in their beds the first year, and yet their daughter and others did not get back on the Mayflower and go back to England, because they looked ahead and said, no, we came here by divine providence, led us here, the Lord brought us here by his will, and we're going to stay and we're going to fight it out. And that's what they did. And as a result of that, I mean, because Plymouth, and I also include Jamestown, I mean, that's the settling of America. We won't call it necessarily the birth of America, but we'll say it was when America was settled. And so throughout our history, there have been people that have not been selfish. They've been thinking about not only themselves, but their posterity, as you just said, Miss Diana. And at the Battle of Lexington, they weren't thinking about just themselves. I mean, they were quoted as saying, this is the shot heard around the world that our cause is very much like the cause of mankind. And so I have the same attitude today. I mean, here, I mean, going into my 65th year, and I'm thinking, okay, I could, you know, maybe sell a few things what that I have, and maybe I could go, you know, somewhere where the weather is always nice and just, you know, play golf all the time or something like that. But you know what? I don't want to do that. What I want to do is I want to stay the course. I mean, I enjoy this. I really love being able to serve the Lord and serve in my homeland of America, my beloved country, and beloved New Hampshire, and then New England, the cradle of liberty, and travel the country. Very soon I'll be going out west to Seattle. I'll be out in Nevada. I've got next 4th of July, I'm scheduled to go into Lincoln, Nebraska. I love this country, even with all of our problems and so forth. And I believe that revival is available to us. And so if you just think of yourself and you look around and you say, well, it's troublesome. And like you said, yes, I've been vilified, but I've also been congratulated too. Was interesting on Sunday evening at this convention there that I was speaking, the chairwoman of the or chairperson of the convention said to me, Pastor Lear, I just was realizing something. You have come and participated in this and taught and spoken for the last 15 years. You're the only person besides me who started this who has that unbroken record. And I said, well,
wow.
I appreciate you observing that. I said, but I've got 20 years since I moved back from Hawaii to New Hampshire. I've got 20 years leading the March for Life, leading Life Chain. I've got 20 years brought the National Day of Prayer into New Hampshire. I mean, all of these things. I look back, and it amazes me. And I'm saying these things not to brag on it, but to give the Lord the glory, because nobody can really be faithful day in, day out, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, except that the Lord helped them by his grace.
Mm.
And I give the glory
wow.
to the Lord, but I'm also very thankful to have that opportunity. And I was walking down the street in Portsmouth on my way to speak on Saturday where I was speaking, and this fellow stopped me on the street that I hadn't seen for a while, and I immediately recognized him, and he said, "Well, Pastor Lear, are you still in the battle? Are you still at this war?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, better than ever. Are you kidding? I'm going to stay in it until we win, and even after we've won, I'll stay in it, as long as the Lord gives me strength." And I don't say that presumptuously, but for the grace of God go I. But we've got to have that, Miss Dinah, we've got to have that kind of bravura. That's the American spirit. That's American exceptionalism, that we say, no, we're not going to give up. And by the way, for all of our listeners out there, winners don't quit, and quitters don't win.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember that. And that truly is an
wow.
American ethic. And I believe as Christians in particular, as American Christians, as patriotic American Christians, that even more so is going to be for us, because the stakes are so high. And I don't want
oh,
to be
Pastor
laying
Lear.
On my... Yes.
Oh, go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I don't want to be laying on my deathbed and have my family around me, you know, and have them say, "What'd you do?" You know, I want to be like Patrick Henry, you know, a great patriot during the War for American Independence. So when he was passing away, he had his family around him, and it was reported in a writing by one of his grandsons of what he told them. He said, "You know, stay in the fight. I've stayed in the fight here, and here's the best thing I can leave you. Although I'm leaving you some property, here's what I'm really going to leave you. I'm leaving you freedom, I'm leaving you liberty, and I'm leaving you this most importantly, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is your Savior." I mean, so we should do that.
Wow. And that worked, because and we see New Hampshire. We hear what's going on. And I'm so proud for them fighting. And even though Obama does what he would, you know, the fact that they stood up to him is so encouraging for the rest of the states, Pastor Lear. But I want to bring this back. You know, I just saw this thing where Glenn Beck is wanting to boycott Levi because of really what they're promoting for the next generation. And it is a concern because the next generation, there's so many of them that I heard the other day that somebody did, I guess, a poll, about 1,200 of them, and it's like the young people, the millennials or whatever they are, you know, they all want to get along. And, you know, they have convictions. They want to stand up for the convictions, but they believe that, hey, there's a way that you can meet in the middle, I guess, and compromise and get along and just plain, I mean, there's a nice way of doing things, and yeah, you should do it nicely, but I'm thinking to myself, I know that, you know, it seems like there's more and more of no absolute that's being taught to the younger generations, and this thing of thinking that, you know, we can all get along, I just don't think that's going to happen until the Lord comes. It's like that peace that everybody's looking for. I just don't think it's going to happen for the world until the Lord comes. And I think Jesus came here and he made people decide which way they stood. And I don't know that that's going to change.
Well, absolutely, you're right. I mean, the whole issue is that they're talking about some kind of a utopia that doesn't exist. Though it seems like a nice idea, you know, and I have people say to me all the time, "Well, why can't we just get along?" So, well, first of all, if you've taken your hand and made a fist out of it and shake your fist against Almighty God, the God of the Bible, our Creator, we're never going to get along. I can tell you that. You know, you're not going to get along with me if you're blaspheming the Lord. And, you know, the issue of what you were saying about them just wanting to get along and you know, compromise or meet in the middle. And see, when I hear meet in the middle, I hear compromise. It is the values in many of our Christian colleges, for example, are just atrocious. I mean, they don't stand up for the Bible and what the Bible says about homosexuality or what the Bible says about the life of the unborn, or what it says about traditional family, for that matter, even what it says about government, or what it says about how to do business, or any of those kind of things. And I think about, there was an American writer in the mid-1800s named Elmer Davis, and he said, the republic was not established by cowards, and cowards will not preserve it. This will remain the land of the free only so long as it is the home of the brave. It takes bravura. It takes courage. In fact, four times in the first chapter of the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, it says, be of good courage. Well, why? Because even then, so long ago, there were people who wanted to compromise. And, you know, when you were making the statement about the millennium, or whatever they call the millennials of that generation, I thought about the hippies in the 60s, you know, who said, you know, can't we just love one another? They have a truth. There is a truth there. I mean, the Lord did say, love you one another as I have loved you. But see, remember, it's love you one another the way I have loved you. And if you go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, what, am I now your enemy because I tell you the truth? And see, today, to get along means don't tell anybody the truth. You tell them the truth about Jesus, or tell them the truth about Islam. Well, you know, aren't we supposed to get along with all other religions of the world? And I had this conversation in front of the State House this past Tuesday with a person that, let's just say, the humanist, the other religious people, the atheists, they've all gotten to this state legislator who's a woman. And she said, well, we can't force our morality on people's throats. I said, that's who you've been talking to. What do you mean? We're not forcing anybody's morality down their throat, but everybody in government is voting for somebody's morality. The truth of the matter is, in many cases, you're trying to force immorality down our throat, and I'm not going to stand for it. I'm not going to accept it. I can't. The Lord doesn't, and I don't. And see, here's the axiom here. If the Lord accepts it, I accept it. If the Lord tolerates it, I'll tolerate it. If the Lord doesn't tolerate it, I won't tolerate it. I mean, how difficult is that to say that? But see, it does. People say, well, can't you just be nice? I mean, you're getting ugly, you know. Don't listen to that kind of stuff, because that's the enemy wanting us not to stand by God's word. And I told her, I said, God's word, though heaven and earth shall pass away, Matthew 24:35, my word will not pass away. God is King. Jesus is Lord King. He's our Savior. He's our lawgiver. And so people need to do that. They need to stand up and say, you might not like this. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm telling you the truth. You know, and she was trying to say, but what about other religions? I said, what about them? They're all abominations. They're all lies. They're all heresies. I said, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. John 14:6. I didn't say that. I didn't write that. Why does somebody accuse me of being ugly or mean for quoting it? But they do all the time. I mean, I read scripture when I go up there to the State House, wherever that I go, on the streets, where I preach sometimes on the streets, or wherever I go, I make everyone stand up. Well, I don't make them. I mean, I request that they all stand up in honor of the reading of God's word. And I don't care whether they're atheists, if there were Muslims in the crowd, or if there were Hindus or Buddhists or agnostics or whatever, I'd say the same thing. This is God's word, the Holy Bible. I am requesting that you stand. Now, I'm not going to go out
if they won't stand. I'm sorry, Pastor Lear. I was just thinking, you know, it just really makes my head spin when I think of what the faith, you know, belief in Christ has done for the nation. You can't say that with any other religion, but yet people are willing to let it take over, you know, all parts of government, this political correctness that has now got people to acquiesce to anything that is Islamic. You know, it's like there's a welcome sign, you know, come into our government, use our taxpayer money, we will look the other way. And it just really hurts my head when I think about it, because of course it's all based on lies.
Well, of course. And the thing is that who is it that wants us to subjugate, let's say, to diminish Christianity and the Word of God? Who wants that to happen? And using whatever it is that means, whether it be some other religion or whatever else. I mean, it's the enemy. We have to remember that. This is not going to bring peace. And as you said, there really will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Just the same as we can say, well, you know, when somebody says, well, we're starting a new church. You know, we're building a church. I always think, well, are you building a church? I thought Jesus said he's going to build his church, and you're going to gather together.
Yeah.
You're going to gather together with other believers, you know, and be the ecclesia or the ecclesia. But Jesus said, I'll build my church, and I'll build it on this rock, and not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. So, I mean, he was warning us of that, you know, and I think, for example, that, you know, people don't realize that the signers of the Declaration, and for that matter, the signers of the Constitution, if they thought in any way, in fact, I'm going to read you a quote here, I don't have it in memory, but it comes from Joseph Story. He said, the real object of the First Amendment was not to countenance, much less to advance Mohammedanism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christianity, but to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects and to prevent any national ecclesiastical establishment which should give to a hierarchy the exclusive patronage of the national government. And he wrote that. This is Justice Joseph Story, wrote it in his Commentaries on the Constitution, 1833. And I defy anybody today, I don't care who it is, even presently on the Supreme Court of the United States, to defy what this man is saying. The man lived at the time. He was part of the writing of this stuff. He was part of all that was going on. He knew what they were doing. And see, today we have this people, I mean, sometimes I feel like throwing up when people are talking about, what about the separation of church and state? What about it? And I look at them and say, the way you're asking me, I know you don't understand it. From the basic original intent of the founders, who wrote it, who wrote that in, and for what the reasons were. And as I said, you know, in the quote here, but certainly if any of these men had thought that the day was going to come that any document that they signed was going to be used to diminish Christianity, they wouldn't sign it. They wouldn't have participated in that, because they had come to the understanding, after knowing history, that Christianity and Christ in the Bible, and I'm not talking about you know, a particular denomination here, I'm just talking about biblical Christianity, was the most excellent of all ways that people should live. And I honestly believe that.
You would have loved yesterday. We had Dr. Daniel show yesterday. Very, he reminds me of you. He loves the Lord. He was a leader of Hezbollah when the Shah of Iran was ousted. He was one of the leaders that ousted the Shah of Iran. And when Khomeini came into power, he was trying to form another party, Dr. Shayeste was. And, of course, he was set to be killed because you cannot have another party. But anyway, he escaped, and he is now a Christian, and he is proclaiming truth about Islam and Christianity and, you know, standing up for Israel. But it's just really, you know, there's a man that just, you know, just again highlights the difference between the two. It's like night and day. But it was just really amazing to hear him and his love for Jesus Christ. But I also want to mention another interview that we had with Tea Party Italy. And I know you've shared the story with us before how, you know, Jamestown, when they were trying to do, I guess, a form of communism. But, you know, if you don't eat, you don't work. And that's what, you know, that is so true.
Yeah.
And that's what they were saying in Tea Party Italy, is there, you know, they are tired of that mindset. It's just like those that were in England that was doing the flash mob, you know, people that, you know, are not working for their food. And so there's that lawlessness that's being encouraged by these countries. And, of course, it's diminished exceptionalism. But also he mentioned about the leaders. It's really cronyism, big-time cronyism in their country that only certain ones get the taxpayer money. And, of course, you know, the hardworking people don't realize that their money is being, you know, taken away from them in such a way to really just, you know, give money to cronies. But that's the same thing, really, that this administration is doing. When we see what's happening in New Hampshire with Planned Parenthood time and again, he has done everything, moved heaven and earth, to give money to them.
Well, that's true. I mean, I don't want to leave out the fact that this has been going on in our country for quite a number of years under a number of different administrations. It's just come to the worst point we've ever had. Our founding fathers were very well aware of what would happen if the people could find somebody to vote into office that would give them money out of the public treasury, and James Madison called that mobocracy. And see, the thing is, most people don't understand this, Miss Diana, because they believe that all men are born good. That is not biblically true. That is not sound Christian doctrine. All men are born with the sin of Adam in them, and they need the redemption of Christ, that all men left to themselves, and we saw that in the intertestamental period and between the judges and the kings, we read in the Bible, it says, all men did what was right in their own sight. All men, because of the fallen nature of man, if they've not been redeemed by Christ, and it's the only redemption you can have, if they're not going to follow the Lord and follow his word, and they're not going to have any restraints put on them, then they're going to be lazy, and they're going to be glad to eat other people's food. They'll be glad to take what other people have worked for. I mean, it's just part of the fallen nature of man. You know, and in my ancestry, not only am I a descendant of the Pilgrims, but I'm also a descendant of the Puritans who are often bad-mouthed in modern times. But let me tell you, they had a real understanding of human nature, and their understanding was truly biblical understanding. I mean, they read the Bible every day. And what is the fault the people say about the Puritans? Well, they tried to live their religion 7 days a week and in everything that they did. Well, hello, what's wrong with that? That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm endeavoring by the grace of God. Lord, help me to do that. I mean, and that's good. I mean, it's not that we're going to make heaven on earth. It's not that, you know, we're going to be in a utopia. But this is what the Lord wants. You know, when he said in the Sermon on the Mount and also in the Temptation in the Wilderness, where he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And see, in the Plymouth Colony, it wasn't the Jamestown Colony, it was the Plymouth Colony, that they practiced that type of of communism. And they found out when it's cold and winter's coming, some people want to stay in their nice warm beds instead of going out and working. Well, we have that today. You know, some people will tell me, it's cold out there. Well, I'm sorry, it's cold out there, but we got to go shovel that snow. Well, it's cold out there, and the wind's blowing, or the rain is blowing. Yeah, but there's work to be done. We've got to eat. And see, what a glorious thing it is to be able to eat the food that you have earned with your own hands. Now, obviously, there are people out there that, for one reason or another, sickness and different difficulties that they have had, that they're not able to do that. But the church is supposed to be benevolent and supposed to take up offerings and help people that need help, but not turn that over to the government to make three or four generations of welfare recipients that have no idea where this is coming from. See, because it takes them away from believing in the Lord providing, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and puts them into looking at government as God, and that is a blasphemy. And that's called idolatry, you know, taking care of the people from the cradle to the grave. And Thomas Jefferson, our third president, said it this way: any government big enough to give you everything you need is also big enough to take away everything you have.
Well,
I mean, you read these things, and I appreciate. Yeah, I appreciate it. If you read the history and you read the documents and so forth, you find out these things are repeated. Why are they repeated? Because man is no different today than he was when he was created in the Garden of Eden. We still have the same foibles. We still have the same sins, and that's why we need a Savior. And there's only one who qualifies, only one who's ever lived who qualifies to be Savior, and that's Jesus. And so, Tuesday when I was up there at the state capitol, and I went and had lunch with half a dozen of the legislators, and they were talking about different laws and whatever. I said, no, wait a minute, guys. You're missing something here. You know, you're talking about concentrating on the pathologies that we deal with. Well, we have to make a law that's going to fit this, it's going to fit that. I said, wait a minute. You need to concentrate on God's design. Where does government come from? Government's supposed to come from God. And so if government is supposed to come from God, we need to go to his word. And our founding fathers were very, very literate in the word of God, studying the Hebrew scriptures, or the Old Testament scriptures, for how government was in the Hebrew nation and Israel and so forth and so on. They were studying these things. There are many principles in the Constitution, in our foundational documents over the years, that are directly scriptural premises, you know, and to deny that is to be a liar.
Indeed, and Pastor Lear, that's what the media has done. You know, they have just they have woven their own history, their own truths. You know, I read a story about Jane Fonda. She's going to be honored by Obama, and when you hear the true history of what Obama has done to our military, it just really it hurts to even know that she's going to be honored now. But anyway, I was just thinking about what you were saying, and how do we help the new generation who are being raised by single parents? And I just, when you were talking, I just thought, well, you know, you said it right there, Pastor Lear, it's about going back to his word, and also how awesome it is to also remember their history, because here in this nation, God answered the prayers. You know, when those that first came here were asking for help from Almighty God, you know, so that we'd shine like a city on a hill, their prayers were answered. And so I just think when Christians say, you know, I do not want a part in that dirty politics, I'm thinking to myself, it's a little bit like slapping God, you know, in the face, because he gave you such a blessing of this form of government, and now you don't want to take care of it. You don't want to take the dust off the Constitution and honor what he gave you. They can't see it that way, but that's how I feel about it sometimes. It's like we're an ungrateful lot.
Well, that's true, and with thankfulness, I mean, how do we enter the courts of the Lord? We enter with praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving, as Scripture says in the book of Psalms and numerous places, says that that's comely to the Lord. In other words, that's beautiful. And so, you know, in answer to your question, what do we do with this younger generation? How do we do it? Well, first of all, we model this in our own lives. For example, you know, my grandson, we were in a restaurant the other night. My grandson's 5.5 years old, and I'm sitting there with his father, and we're eating. And, of course, before we ate, I said, well, let's pray. And I asked my grandson if he'd like to pray, so I led him along in a little prayer. And then after a while, he said to me, Grandpa, will you anoint me with oil? And I said, sure, because he knows I carry a little.
Oh, a little anointing oil. Pastor Lear, did I miss you? Did I lose you? Okay, I don't hear you, Pastor Lear, for some reason. But okay, I'm hoping he'll be on with us. I'm sure we're having a little technical difficulty. Pastor Lear, can you hear me? Okay. He's going to call back, I'm sure of it. But listeners, Pastor Lear has studied history, true history, and I'm sure he's going to try to call back in. And it is really amazing what true history can do for us if we will study it. We will know where our blessings come from. We will know without a shadow of a doubt that this nation was founded on the Word of God. We will know how people treated each other in the days of old. We will know what made America great. We will know what is true faith. And we will know how to raise our children, as the Patriot pastor was saying. You know, the little children. Here he is. He's back with us.
Yes, what happened was, without any warning at all, our electricity just went off.
Oh, that's right. You're in New Hampshire where you've suffered all that rain and flooding, and it's even a miracle that New Hampshire didn't suffer more, as we see in Vermont, how much water they had gotten.
Well, that's true, and of course, I'm very thankful to have a cell phone so I can call you, and it's charged up to call you back, but you know, there's a message in this, Miss Diana, isn't it? At a moment's notice, life can be over. Things can drastically change. And so I'd like to go back to visit what you had asked about, well, what can we do? You know, a lot of people say, well, I can't go up to the State House, and you know, I can't go to Montgomery and go in the State House and talk. I'm just not, you know, skilled at that or whatever. Everybody can do something. You can be praying, but you can also put some action to your prayers. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. You can, if you know a single parent that's trying to raise a child like that or children, help them. Instead of sending them off to the welfare office, you know, go over and say, look, let me help you out here. You know, why don't you have an evening out and we'll take care of your child so you can go out and, you know, there are many, many ways that we can do things on a grassroots level. And I believe that that is absolutely essential right now, that instead of always looking for something huge, you know, the big stadium event, which, you know, is nice, but look on the grassroots level. You know, pray about it, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and I believe that you'll find many opportunities to help people just right next door, right across the street, on the grassroots level. And that'll mean so much because then, you know, the axiom is this. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm.
And so we Christians need to do that.
Well, thank you, Pastor Lear. I just love having you on. I mean, we just learn so much. But I just thank God that you're always taking a stand. You have never apologized for your faith and love for Jesus Christ, and you know where your hope comes from. And it has, oh my goodness, it has been so fruitful in your state of New Hampshire because, you know, New Hampshire is shining like a city on a hill for the rest of us. So I'm just so grateful, and, you know, they just need to study what you have done. And it goes back again to how close you are. You abide in God's Word, and He abides in you. And we want the listeners to find that same truth that you have found, Pastor Lear, so that they can share it. And also not to be ashamed, not to think that they have no part in this government, because really it is only right and fitting. As a thank you to the God of heaven who allowed this great nation to form when he inspired those great and humble men. They were humble men. In spite of their great intellect, Pastor Lear, that's one of the things that I'm just so amazed at is, you know, they were humble, as they should have been, before Almighty God, something that really a lot of us have lost in this nation. And so, in closing, I just want to give it to you, Pastor Lear, and ask you to pray for our nation. I know there's going to be a big, a big debate tonight, presidential debate, and we asked for the right leader to come up, you know, and I'm just really, there's a lot of concerns about who is going to be our next leader. We don't want just anybody. So, and we have so many problems. But anyway, Pastor Lear, I turn it over to you, sir. Thank you, as always.
Well, it's my pleasure, and you know that you are, to me, I look to you kind of like one of the founding mothers, you might say, because I know that with the rigors that you've gone through, the times that you've organized events that I've come and spoken at there in Alabama, and of course doing the radio broadcast week after week, day after day, which is takes a lot of effort. And see, you're proof positive that a person one day wakes up and says, I must do something for my country that I love. I must definitely do something. And you're doing something. See, that's the point that I want to get across to people. Don't say you can't do it. Don't say there isn't anything you can do. There are things that you can do, and the Lord will help you to do them. So I want to pray in Jesus' name that people will be honest and humble enough to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to do more. There's much more that I can do and I will do if you will direct me and equip me, Lord. And remember, the Lord's not looking for those that that are already equipped. He's looking for the faithful. If you're faithful, he will equip you. You know, I can say that all the different things that the Lord has had me do over the years, it wasn't that I knew how to do a lot of them. It's just I said, Lord, I'm going to be like little David here. I can't stand hearing you blasphemed, Lord, so I'm going to stand against that Philistine giant because he's blasphemed you. You know, and that's what's most important to us. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity on the City on the Hill radio broadcast. I thank you for the opportunity that I have to be here in New Hampshire that I love and to be able to speak to people across the nation through this broadcast, and particularly those that are there in Alabama, the wonderful hospitality and the joy that I've had being there and traveling all over Alabama and ministering there and having fellowship with people. For all those that are listening right now, that they will recognize that we're a nation that's free and has many freedoms, many of which we have unfortunately lost, because those that have had the freedom haven't always appreciated it as they should and borne some of the burden. Everyone must be involved. The preamble of the Constitution says, we the people. Well, we the people need to stand up and be counted. And so I direct this prayer, Lord, to those out there that they would hear this. Let it be you that will stand up. Don't ask who else is going to do it. Say, I will do it, just like little David did. And I thank you, Lord, for Miss Diana. Thank you for supplying the needs that she has and the budget that she has to do this broadcast, that people would recognize how important it is. We thank you for archiving it so people can listen to it at other times. Thank you for the wonderful guests that she's able to locate. Thank you to continue to lead her to find people that can be on the program. And thank you, Lord, that you have loved us and strengthened us in a way that nothing could ever stop, that you have more to give us than the enemy could ever take away. And we are not forlorn, we are not forsaken, we are not afraid, we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed to stand up and say, we love you. And I'm glad to say as a man, I love you, Jesus. I would be nothing without you, and I need your help every single day. And I praise you for all that you're doing. Praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Lear. And we want to ask the listeners to please go to your website, thewelloflivingwater.com, where they can get more information about you, partner with you. And I'd like to... Pastor Lear, I was talking about Tea Party Italy, that group. You know, they're taxed enough already, and they're hungry for things that are new and good for the countries there in Europe. And your friend, one of your dear friends, Judge Romore, is going to be with them. They're going to be on together October the 5th. So I think that is something that is going to be great, because we know that Judge Moore holds up the right standards. So I'm believing it's going to bear fruit. So, but we'll have to have you on with them too. You're one of those that they also need to hear from.
Well, that would be wonderful. And I actually am part Italian. One of my great grandfathers, and one of my great grandmothers came from Italy in 1870.
Well, we have to have them on with you. I'm going to shoot for November. I'm going to try to see if I can work it out where y'all can be on together in November. What a blessing that will be. And, thank you, Pastor Lear. And God bless you, sir. Hope to hear from you again next month. Thank you, listeners. May God shine his face upon you. I'm sorry, Pastor Lear. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to give a greeting to my friend Jimmy Cruz.
Oh, thank you, sir. He's working hard as always. Thank you for keeping him in your prayers. And please, listeners, please keep Pastor Lear in your prayers. His ministry, thewelloflivingwater.com, and you can hear this podcast at www.cityonhill.tv and share it with your friends and family. God bless you. Goodbye.